Welcome to Ujiria, broadcasting live from Business Radio X Studios. Ujiria is a Greek word meaning health of body and mind in aging individuals. Ujiria Radio is a weekly show celebrating the heroes that contribute to the Ujiria of our elderly and disabled population. Now joining us in the studio are your hosts, Sam Grass and Brad Culp.
Good morning. This is Brad Culp. It's July 20th. Here in Atlanta, I've got Sam Grass in the studio with me and Lee Cantor. We've got a great group of guests this morning, including Sarah Beal, who has joined our frequent guest program. And so she's going to get the honorary guest host today. And in fact, we're bringing back trivia today just because Sarah brought trivia with her
this morning. If you're up here four times, you get to do trivia.
I keep wondering where my dressing room is, and I don't know.
This is radio. You don't need to be dressed for radio.
Wait a minute. You didn't go to the green room prior to coming in here?
I thought I would have some champagne, a snack or something before we started.
You missed the green room, apparently. So, Sarah, you got trivia for us today.
I have some fun trivia for you guys. I'll test your knowledge a little bit. On this date, July 20th, what year did Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin land on the moon?
Goodness.
I know that one.
69?
Yes, 1969. Yeah. Today is the anniversary of that happening. So, very cool.
My goodness, that's 42 years ago.
Yes, I wasn't.
Wow.
I was a young man.
And Sam was finishing college, right? Sam was in college.
Yeah, I was a child, so. Yeah, what does that mean, young man? You mean you're 30 or?
He was in college.
All right. Well, we've got a great show today. Here in Atlanta, we have Sarah and also Donna Sharp from Hope Assisted Living and Memory Care Center. This is a brand new concept and a brand new property, and they're going to talk about that with us in a little while. But first, we're going to go to Dallas with Kevin Ritz and his guest, Jan McFarland. So, Kevin, take it away.
Thanks, Brad. Good morning. You're joined today by Jan McFarland, who is a reverse mortgage specialist. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin. Fine. Thank you.
I really appreciate you taking the time out of your morning to visit with us today. Why don't we start off by having you give us your background, where you're from, where you went to school, and how you ended up here in Dallas.
Great. Well, I am originally from Little Rock, Arkansas, and finished my education there. After a few years out of college, I decided I wanted to be a court reporter, moved to Dallas, Texas, and went to court reporting school.
All right.
Yeah, and licensed Texas court reporter, and learned from that after practicing here a little bit with plans to go back. I liked Dallas better, didn't want to go back, and didn't really enjoy court reporting, which is what they tell you. Maybe you need to go do something first before you really make it your life career. And somehow or another ended up with a nice partner and got my insurance license and was successful in that field, licensed there, helping interns and residents in the insurance industry going to our local big hospital here where we have a huge Southwestern Medical School, helping them get their financial plan together for the future as doctors. And that insurance usually leads you to real estate for some reason. They all seem to be intertwined. I had a client that I was doing long-term health care for in the future for her in real estate. Why don't you get your real estate license when I can refer you business? I can pay you a little commission. I did that and I went, oh, I like real estate. So real estate for about 7 years, and that led me to the mortgage industry, which I've been in now, I want to be proud to say, for 21 years. So that little bit of time of trying to find myself and all that licensing led me to this industry. Had my own brokerage firm for about 13 years and was a Texas licensed broker in the mortgage industry, which we call the forward mortgage business, which means when you purchase or refinance a home, you must get, if you need financing, if you're not lucky enough to pay cash. So we call that the forward business. And from that, people kept calling me. My grandmother, my parents, someone needs a reverse mortgage. What do you know about it? I got interested in it, went to a seminar, and for 4 years, I've been a reverse mortgage specialist only, and that is all I do. And that is what I enjoy. I found that the mortgage industry is where I really need to be, and my mantra is helping others take care of their financial life reinforces my own commitment to abundance.
Right, right.
And that's what really sort of makes the old saying, I can chill my age here, makes my boat float.
Okay, all right. Let's start off with an easy question then. What is a reverse mortgage?
A reverse mortgage is a loan that's designed for seniors that are 62 years or older to tap into the equity of their home that they have built up through the years. And they can, with that money, they can either pay off an existing mortgage and take out cash, or one or the other, depending on the value of their home and what that loan yields to them. And that cash to them, they're able to do whatever they want to with that, increase their quality of life. And unlike a forward mortgage that I just discussed that I was in, there are no monthly payments, and the loan is due and payable when the last living borrower no longer lives in the home.
Okay. So in a reverse mortgage situation, who actually owns the home?
The owner of the home at the time, the borrower, still continues, always owns the home.
Okay.
By themselves. A couple, a single person. As long as they're on title when they take out the loan, the reverse mortgage, they remain on title.
Okay. And I imagine that the borrower needs to continue living in the home. They can't take out a reverse mortgage and move and rent the property out or anything like that.
Correct. As long as they live in the home for, well, less than 12 continuous months, they can go visit. They can have a second home, perhaps, where they go and stay through summer months, whatever, depending on the weather, where they want to be. That's an option.
Okay.
We do have people that take out reverse mortgages that are not needy. That has been a misconception that it's sort of a grandmother loan for help that are only on Social Security and need extra income. That is a benefit of the reverse mortgage, but it is also for people in their senior years to have extra money to do the things, the quality of life. I've had people help grandchildren go to college. I've had people help their daughter and son-in-law that needed financial help by doing that. There are many, many reasons. I've had very wealthy people take out money to give to their children to buy distressed real estate in this financial times.
Yeah, so it sounds like a very flexible way to capitalize on the equity that you've built up over the years. How does it differ from a home equity loan?
Well, it differs in the fact that there's no qualification for income or assets or credit, and there are no payments made at that time like you would be if you had a home equity loan.
Okay. How much can somebody borrow in a reverse mortgage situation?
How much a person can borrow depends on their age. It is based on their age, the value of the home, and the product they pick.
Okay, and so what are some different types of products, just to kind of give people an idea of what options there are?
Well, our rates and our products are tied to a financial index.
Okay.
So therefore, that index and those rates vary according to market conditions. So depending on the person's need or their situation and how they want to receive their income, there are caveats for various products. And to get into that, it would be, I go into great detail, but just on a basis today, that would be something I would work out with the borrower as to what they want to do. It is their choice, not my choice, not the lender's choice, to say you will do this or you will do that. There are so many options that sometimes you sort of get a headache thinking of. I'll have people say, I want all the cash, that I can qualify for at closing, and then they'll call me back during the process. And that's important to know, that the day they decide they want a reverse mortgage is not the day they have to pick the product and they call me and change their mind and say, oh, well, too bad, you've signed everything. You know, you've got to take all your cash. We can redisclose to them, because this is an emotional decision, something that they've got to think about, and they might have an aha moment at night, and, you know, like that dream you have where that cork bobs up on that water, you got to grab it then. Well, they might have that when I'm not around and say, I changed my mind, may I do that? And they love that flexibility up until almost time of closing. They don't feel pressured, and they feel like I'm there to guide them in their best interest, or their loved ones that may want to help them.
Okay. What are some things people should consider before taking out a reverse mortgage? Are there some ideas or some thoughts that you have on what people should think about?
You know, they might want to think of what the impact is on their children. You'd be surprised at the answers I get from people that say they can take care of themselves. Or maybe they'll just tell their children, look, you're part of your inheritance is I'm going to take part of it. I'm going to take part of it now. You're going to get my house. A lot of people sort of feel like children want their home, the parents' home, and they really don't. So really, if it's something they want to discuss with their children, I highly recommend that. I do have some information that I'm able to send to children. I highly encourage other people within their family to meet with me if there's any situation whereby they think their parent is not making a right decision, or with their financial planner perhaps, or with their home care people to see what needs they have. And they want to, I'm a senior. I want to stay in place. I want to age in place. And so this is a way to help them do that. I have life advice that have in booklets that I can give to people to help them, help the loved ones take care of them, all sorts of information. But back to your basic question, I guess consider what the impact is going to be, where they want to be in 5 years or 10 years.
Yeah. Now, occasionally, I'm sure you come across this where perhaps the homeowner maybe doesn't have the capability of making this type of decision. Is this something a power of attorney can decide for them to do, or is that
yes,
outside of that scope?
Yes, they can sign with the power of attorney. We do end up with people that have already passed their capacity for making their own financial decisions. In that case, well, let me back up a little bit. One of my highest recommendations for people that are going to take care of an aging or a disabled person is to get a power of attorney. If they've waited and they're not thinking, and they've got a 60-year-old parent and they're not even thinking about it, that would be something that I would encourage people to do now. But if we're already at that case where the aging person is still capable of making financial decisions, get a power of attorney. Also get a doctor's letter that they were of sound mind. I have a power of attorney, my children have, and then you get the doctor to also write the letter that when your power of attorney was initiated, that you were of sound mind. Because of legal reasons, if you don't have that and you pass that point of being able to make your decisions and you go back to that power of attorney without a doctor's letter, when did the aging of incapacitation start? Who's right. going to pinpoint that? So if a doctor passes away, is no longer practicing, or they're not around this person, if they had done that in the past, that saves everything for as trying to now go back and do a power of attorney and be sure that it's legally, and that real estate transactions, all sorts of financial decisions are made for them. If that is the case and they can't get any kind of letter, they are incapacitated, then the caretaker has to go get a guardianship, which is expensive and takes time.
Right. Shifting gears just a little bit, what do you find most rewarding about what you do?
Well, as I stated before, helping people take care of their financial needs is the most rewarding to me. It reinforces, as I said before, my own abundance.
Yeah. Do you have a specific story of a client that you, no names obviously, but somebody that really impacted your life as far as when you helped them achieve those goals?
I don't have one specific, but I have so many people. I know that sounds like that's out in, that's awfully silly. But every case is like a thumbprint and your own individual. And it is a great product, and I'm going to sound like that it's the end-all, be-all. But every case, there is a need or a want.
Yeah.
I've never had anyone unhappy about it, and they've had a specific need. I have people that are as healthy and robust as you and me, and they decide to, I recently say a case where they did a reverse mortgage in another state and thought they would never move, and in 3 months later someone came to them and offered them a price for their house they couldn't resist turning down, and they decided to move to Texas to be close to their children. They had the reverse mortgage in March of this year, have already got invested, bought another property in Texas, and done another reverse mortgage and paid that off, and they're leaving on a cruise this week for Alaska.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
that's a great story. If you could give seniors or their adult children one piece of advice, what would you tell them?
Back to the power of attorney. To get that done, absolutely. Okay. That is very, very important. They are going to go through a lot of misery, a lot of downtime. Time sometimes is of the essence to get this done. Mm-hmm. A reverse mortgage can be accomplished from loan application to closing in about 3 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So it's not a drawn-out process. And a lot of times we've got people close to not being able to pay their mortgage, perhaps. Maybe there's a situation where they've had financial situations and they want to pay it off. Well, the quicker they can do it. So I try to get everything. I do have everything in order, my processor, everybody, we all work in tandem and get it done quickly. But if anything comes up about mental capacity or signing or even disabled, I've had disabled clients where the wife could sign perhaps two or three forms at loan application and closing, but just hard for her to sign that stack of papers you get at closing.
Sure.
And the husband can have the power of attorney and sign the rest for him. So that's just very...
It is great advice. The power of attorney is a very important document, and that is by far one of the most important things people should do. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, how would they go about doing that?
They can call me here in Dallas at 214-528-3111, or I have a toll-free.
Okay.
877-528-3111.
Okay. And is there a website or anything that people can go to?
I do have an email address.
Okay.
But I find most of it, I do have a lot of clients that do email, but most of it's done by phone, then they can get me direct.
Great.
And I have the ability to work 24/7. I know that sounds like, well, gosh, she's on call all the time, but I do have the ability to do that and answer that phone at all times and get back to them as quickly as possible, be able to send them out information, make it very easy to follow what it is. I can go over the phone with them if they're local. I can go see them if they prefer it that way.
All right. Well, with that, Brad, we'll send it back to you and Sam in Atlanta.
Kevin, thank you. Good information. Thanks, Jan. As many times as I've listened to shows about reverse mortgage, you brought new information to the table. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brad. I enjoyed it, and thanks for letting me share my information with you and your listeners.
That was actually Sam. This is Brad.
But, thank you, Sam.
We appreciate having you on the show, and I just wanted to say that I appreciate you bringing up the point about getting the power of attorney signed, because so many people put that off, and you know, from people that are in their 50s to obviously in their 80s and 90s, something happens and you don't have that document, life gets so complicated. But
it really does. And mine, I have here with me the statutory durable power of attorney, and then I also have the one for health as well. So there's one for making just the one that kind of that adds to it, sort of an addendum, and it's a designation of healthcare agent.
Yeah, valuable documents, important to do, and important for our listeners to understand. Thank you again for being with us this morning.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being included and invited, and I hope there's anything I can do for you as far as more questions, information, brochures and things I can send out to you. I'll be more than happy to do it.
We appreciate that. Thank you very much, Jan.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Joining us today in Atlanta, Georgia, we have two guests from Hope Memory Care Centers, a new facility coming online in Lawrenceville /Tukula. We'll get into that a little later. Two guests. First of all, as Brad introduced, we have Sarah Bill. But before we light the fires and kick the tires with her, we're going to begin with Donna Sharp. Donna is the Executive Director of Hope Memory Care Centers. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem at all. As you know, Sarah's been a guest on the show a number of times, so we're going to set her on the sidelines, and we're going to give you the mic, so to speak, and let you run with it. Why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself?
Well, my background is nursing. I've been a nurse for 22 years. I started in New Jersey and moved to the Atlanta area 17 years ago, and I've been here ever since, so this is home now. But I've been a nurse in geriatrics and assisted living, mostly long-term care. But the last 6 to 7 years I've spent in assisted living. Geriatrics is where my heart is, and I love old people. I don't know how else to say it.
I'm amazed that you're from New Jersey, but I'm not picking it up in your accent at all.
I've lost some of it. But when I go home, it comes right back.
Okay.
When she gets mad.
I heard a little bit of it right there.
And when I get mad, she's right.
I lived next to, before we moved, lived next to a guy who had come out of New York, and he had been in Atlanta for 28 years. But the accent was just so clearly there. And, you know, so we always say, you know, you can take the girl out of New Jersey, but you can't take New Jersey out of the girl.
Well, I do still call myself a Jersey girl.
There you go. I didn't mean to interrupt, but
sorry.
That's all right. I'm going to go home. This show's going to run by itself, so there's not going to be any problem with that. So tell us a little bit, Donna, again, you said that you've been in geriatrics for quite some time. Mm-hmm. So let's develop the idea as to what you find so unique or rewarding in that arena.
Everything. I think that older folks are just a wealth of knowledge that very often we don't value our seniors like we should. We don't often give them the respect that they've certainly earned over the years, and I just really love being with them. They're to me, I would rather enjoy the company of an 80 or 90-year-old than somebody that's in their 50s or 60s.
I can relate to that. One thing I find is, as you said, you mentioned the magic word in my estimation is the wisdom. And there is a wealth of wisdom there that if we would be just smart enough to listen to them.
Well, it's taken the time to slow down because they've slowed down. So we need to take the time to really listen.
Tell us about Hope Memory Care Center.
Hope Memory Care Center is a brand new center that's being built at the Tukula-Lawrenceville line. And it is strictly dedicated to memory care. We are an assisted living community. We fall under the assisted living guidelines, but we will not be taking typical assisted living residents. They will be all memory care. They will have to have an official medical diagnosis of some form of dementia in order to be admitted to our building.
And what designates a memory care facility or center versus an assisted living center?
Again, we are specializing in just dealing with those folks that have Alzheimer's, Lewy bodies, various forms of vascular dementia. So all of our staff is trained to deal with only folks with dementia.
Is there any difference in the licensure with the state? Are there any additional regulations that apply to a memory care unit?
There's some really obscure, for lack of a better word, regulations, but for most people, they don't see a real difference. There will be a difference in hope. There are assisted living communities that do have memory care units that are dedicated to folks with memory issues. Our building will be a little bit unique because we are distinguishing the differences in dementia. Our building is actually designed in four villages, and each village is tailored to meet the needs for the level of dementia that the resident has. Mm-hmm. So we actually have a village that's called Sunny Surf that's going to meet the needs of those residents that have early stage dementia, like on a scale of 4 to 5. Mm-hmm. And then it goes around the buildings. Safe Harbor is another level. Those folks that have about a stage 5 or 6 will reside on that. The reason we're doing that is, again, if you distinguish the different levels of dementia, we can tailor the care and the activities to meet their needs. So we really are specializing in dementia.
Good segue over to Sarah.
I thought you forgot about me.
No. we don't want to kick it up right yet. But, Sarah has been with us before. She is an activities director for Hope Memory Care, therapeutical activities director. And let's get right into it, Sarah. What is going to be the uniqueness of your function with Hope as activities director versus a normal assisted living center?
At Hope, we're really going to specialize, like Donna said, on that level of dementia and cognitive ability that the resident has. So each village, we may be doing the same type of activity at the same time, but it's going to be tailored to the residents in that village.
Can you just talk about that, like how you would do, like, say, exercise at each of them, mm-hmm. so we can kind of understand what it would look like and how it would be different at each
of them? Yeah, definitely. Obviously, exercise, great example. Because that is something that I love doing with the residents, and I found that a lot of them enjoy. A lot of the advice and tips for keeping off the onset of symptoms for dementia is keep your body active, keep your mind active. So exercise is always good. I like to combine both mind and body there. In Sunny Surf, we can do chair exercises. We can go through a full 20 to 30 minute exercise routine, having different, whether it's leg lifts and punches and different things like that. As we move on to Safe Harbor, it's going to be a little bit shorter session. The attention span isn't always as long as a resident with a little bit higher cognitive level. So the exercise might be broken down into smaller sessions. Instead of doing a sit down full 20 to 30 minutes, we'll do some smaller sessions. We'll add it in to make it a little bit more fun. You know, you can pretend you're rowing a boat while you sing row, row, row your boat. Different things like that. I've done head, shoulders, knees, and toes with the residents. It's great for coordination. They love it. You know, it's the whole room sitting there laughing, and it's great when you have kids come in to volunteer and do it with us because they're like, hey, we know that too. So, you know, it's kind of definitely shortening the time.
with residents with different forms of dementia, it's not always that physically they're as sick. So, you know, we can still do a lot different exercises. We can do stand-up exercises, you know, holding the back of a chair and things like that. But it's definitely shortening the time period that we're doing it so they're not getting bored with it, and making sure everybody is involved. As we go into Wandering Brook, which is our village that is for wanderers' behavioral issues, the hallways are about 20 feet wide, so we can wander. So definitely we're going to incorporate that. The residents that want to walk and they want to, you know, they're moving a lot, then we're going to have a walking club and we're going to get out there and we'll do it. We've got the courtyards that are fenced in and everything. So we will have, we can have daily walking club. We can do, there's so many different ways to do exercise. We can do dancing as part of it. The ones that want to be up and want to be moving around a little bit more, then we'll dance. We'll do the twist and we'll do all these different dances that they know. And I love incorporating music into things. That's music therapy is always great for reminiscing. As we get to Whispering Pines, which is our end stage, obviously we're not going to be running laps around the building. The residents are going to be a lot more, not as mobile, but there's so many things you can still do. I mean, my goal is even if you're just moving your fingers as opposed to doing the full exercise, that's more than doing nothing. So every little bit, I mean, whether it's just stretching, and there's going to be a lot more help with caregivers, and we'll have a lot of hospice involvement in that village. So just doing different stretching exercises, getting the muscles moving. Massage is great. Massage therapy, hands, feet. So yeah, I mean, we're really, really specializing. I mean, I'm excited as an activity director. I can really get into the residents.
So So Jan had talked about the concept of aging in place, and I see that at work here, you know, maybe progressing from one village to the next.
Actually, that's the whole concept, is to move them through the building, through their disease process, eventually to Whispering Pines.
Is there a point at which you would have to say goodbye to a client that where they would be forced to move to a skilled nursing facility? Or, you know, I know that in looking at your material, I see that, you know, you provide additional hands-on care if needed.
The intention is to keep them. Obviously, I can't make that promise to anyone and won't.
Right.
Certainly, if they needed round-the-clock IV fluids or a skilled nursing service, I'm not a skilled facility. We can't provide that at Hope. But certainly the intention is to keep them, again, with hospice on board at Whispering Pines.
I was just going to ask that. So you can introduce skilled care through hospice.
It's still limited, again, if they need it around the clock and they couldn't provide an RN around the clock, we could not keep them.
Right. Okay. Tell me a little bit about how Hope got started.
Hope actually is a concept that George and Earl Schuff came up with. And George and Earl Schuff have been in the assisted living industry since 1988. Started out building a lot of communities here in the Atlanta area, a lot of communities folks are familiar with. Actually, my past community, they built that community, ironically enough. And they were in the business for a long time. They used to build centers, manage them for a while, sell them off. And actually, there was another brother, Andy Schuff, that was involved with the company at the time. Andy has gone on, and he actually works for Atria now, and they did a lot of building for Atria. But George and Earl got out of the business probably 5 or 6 years ago and decided a few years back, about 3 or 4 years ago, that there was a huge niche, so to speak, for memory care in this area. So they started doing their research. It's something near and dear to their heart, and they're really very, very passionate about it. They did lots of research for years and then just broke ground. I guess it's probably been about 3 months now on this new building that is, you know, like the name, Hope for Gwinnett County. It's very unique to the industry. We will be different. So
for our listeners, why don't you give them the exact location of the facility? There's a question of whether it's Lawrence or Decula, so let's clear that up right now.
Well, that actually has a Decula mailing address, but the address is 1200 Winder Highway in Decula, and zip there is 30019, but it is actually on the border of Decula and Lawrenceville.
And just for clarity for our listeners, given the reference point, it's very close to the airport, correct?
Yes, it is. It's very close to the Lawrenceville airport.
Okay. We're about half a mile off of 316.
Okay.
So.
All right. Donna, let's develop an idea or the concept that Sarah brought to the table, and that's that with physical activity inhibits or somehow suppresses the dementia or the disorder. Can, from a maybe clinical standpoint, can you speak to that?
Well, getting them involved in physical activities, obviously, and brain activities helps make the disease process not move so fast. I mean, it's a known fact. You sit around and you do nothing and you end up declining very quickly. Right. Mm-hmm. So our objective is to keep them highly involved throughout the community, even on Whispering Pines, like Sarah said. They will be involved and engaged in an activity, even though it may be passive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The old statement, use it or lose it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what we're trying to do. We can't cure anybody, but we'd like to slow the progression as best we can.
Right.
So I know that your opening date is somewhat dictated by the state, but you are coming close to the end of your construction process,
yes.
I understand.
Yes, we should be totally constructed, hopefully by the first week of September.
Excellent.
And pre-leasing details, already.
details on a grand opening to follow, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Very good. I'm curious how, you know, and I think I maybe know the answer to it because you alluded to it, but how did you get involved in HOPE?
Applied to an ad. Really intrigued me.
Really? Even though you knew them already because they built?
Well, I really didn't know of the Schuffs. I mean, again, they were builders and contractors that built communities. I certainly didn't know them per se.
Gotcha.
But I have a love for Alzheimer's and dementia. My grandmother had Alzheimer's. So, you know, it's kind of near and dear to my heart. And
yeah.
I've run communities where I've had memory units in my community, but this is a whole new concept, so I'm very excited to be part of it.
And then did you reach out and drag Sarah over, or was she banging on your door?
I called Sarah before I got the offer letter because I knew I needed her on my team.
It was completely out of the blue. She was just like, now listen, this isn't for sure, but would you be interested? And I mean, as soon as she told me about it right away, I was like, yes, I would love to, so...
Well, you have to have the right fuel to launch the rocket. So that's
absolutely.
Exactly, that's
and I
right.
figured she owed me. I hired her where she was.
So obviously you don't have any residents yet. So as the therapeutic activities director, what are you doing right now?
Right now I'm on the radio, actually. Yeah. It's really great. No, I've been helping with the marketing efforts. Obviously, there's a lot to cover, introducing ourselves to the community, to doctor's offices, to all kinds of places. So I've been helping with that. Besides myself and Donna, we have our community relations director on board as well. So, but that's a big task.
And do you lead group exercises every morning?
I do. No. I've been sleeping in it, no. But I'm getting to do some fun stuff. I'm getting to go to different senior centers and different other independent livings, buildings like that, and doing activities with the residents, which is my love. And, you know, it's kind of hard for me right now not to be around residents all the time. So I'm doing ice cream socials and things like that, but just trying to get the word out about us and, you know, talking to families and different people in the community. So everybody knows that we're here and what we want to do.
Now, what has the family been saying about this when you're, because this is a new concept, right? So what's kind of been the dialogue with family members when you...
Families are very excited to hear what we have to offer. I have people calling me saying, can I give you a check so I can secure my base place?
Wow.
And I'm like, I'd love to take your money, but I'd like to talk with you first. So it's being well received in mm-hmm. the community.
How many residents will you be able to accommodate?
We have 64 units.
64.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And is it 16 in each community or is
16
it
in each village? And some of them are not really companion rooms. They're kind of semi-private, mm-hmm. which they're private bedrooms with a shared bath, and then we have totally private bedrooms with their own private bath.
If I were a potential customer client or I'm the family of one, what's your sales pitch? What is it that you want to convey to me to entice me to come to Hope?
What I convey to families is this distinguishing dementia program mm-hmm. and our memorable moments, which is part of Sarah's baby. That makes us unique and different to the industry. Mm-hmm. And I don't know of any other community in this area that's doing
the uniqueness of catering to memory disorders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, Sarah, I'm going to pass to you. Memory moments.
Memorable moments.
Memorable moments.
That's what we've titled our therapeutic activities program. And the goal is to focus on those memorable moments. And, residents that don't necessarily remember, I'm not focusing on what they don't remember. I want to take what they do and those pleasant memories and bring those back. And if, we're going along with a concert that they saw, 40 years ago or something, then yeah, let's talk about it. I want to hear about it. I want to know everything about it. And, who was playing? Let's listen to the music. We're focusing on the good times mm-hmm. and we're making more good times, not necessarily things that they're going to remember, but also the families will. Right. The families and the grandkids can, that day we went to Hope and saw Grandma and we did this together. Mm-hmm. So we want to make the new things memorable, but also focus on the old things, the good stuff. And let's not try to, let's recreate it. Do it over. We're joining on their ride. That's Donna likes to say that a lot. We're not trying to bring them on ours. Let's join them. Definitely.
Good. Let's move on. And I'm going to ask both of you to respond to this. Tell us a warm and fuzzy story about your past experiences with residents or with elders. I'll begin with Donna. I'm sure Donna's got a funny one or something that she'd like to convey.
Warm and fuzzy. The only one that really comes to mind is one that I guess is important for families that are trying to make a decision. I had a family that I courted for about 6 months. She would call and we would talk and she would come in and visit and we would talk. And it's a very difficult, very emotional decision to make. And her mom was in early stage dementia and mm-hmm. she really did need to move to a community. She was getting difficult to care for at home. The daughter finally made the decision to move in and we signed the paperwork and she brought mom and the daughter cried for probably an hour or two in my office, feeling very guilty. And normal reaction, mm-hmm. which is hard to tell the family this is a normal reaction. But what was really heartwarming is about 2 or 3 weeks later, she came into my office and sat down and started to cry again. And I'm thinking, oh gosh, what's going to happen? She's going to move her out. Well, she was crying because she was very thankful. Mm-hmm. I was trying to tell her weeks earlier that she was going to get back that mother-daughter relationship instead of that caregiver-patient, basically, right. relationship. And she came in crying, saying how thankful she was that I was there to support her and let her work through it until she was ready, and that she was very glad she was in a great place and that they really did have mm-hmm. that relationship that they deserved.
Good.
So,
well, that's great.
Good. Real quick, Sarah.
I actually have tons, but
just one.
I've always connected a lot with the resident and with the family members. So, there's been multiple times when I have gone with residents of mine as an escort, as a date to families' weddings, to the child or family member knows then that they don't have to worry about anything then, but it's great to me that they want me there with them. I definitely, a lot of my past residents, they're family to me and their family members in turn. I still keep in touch with people, and so that's always really cool, getting to be part of that inner circle, that inner family with people.
That's good. Donna, for our listeners who might be in a position of life or a stage of life where they are thinking about this, they have a loved one who they suspect might have some memory disorders, they just can't deal with it, and they're starting the process, what piece of advice might you give them as they begin that?
Well, first, if they're not sure about whether or not they have a memory disorder, they really need to seek a geriatric psychiatrist or a neurologist that specializes in geriatrics to help that person get truly diagnosed. Then they need to educate themselves. I truly believe that education is the best ammunition that you can have. So they need to get on the internet and do research on communities, on resources. And then they have to physically go out and look. Not every fit is the right fit, and it needs to be a comfortable fit, not only for the resident, but for that family. So they need to do their homework before they go in, and then there's a whole list of things that they should look for when they're visiting these communities, and I freely offer that to my families that are calling.
That's great, and what I heard you say is this is a time situation where you don't want to knee-jerk it. You need to spend the correct amount of time in making your decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a very important decision. Yeah. You're talking about someone's life.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, that is great information. I'm certainly excited about Hope. I'm certainly thrilled to have both of you on our show. And Donna, why don't you tell our listening audience, for those who might want to reach out to you, who might want to give you that check, as you just described, how can they contact you?
They can reach me by phone, which my phone number is 404-769-2166. They can also reach me by email. It is a long email address. It's dmsharp@hopememorycarecenter.com.
That's great. We thank both of you for being our guests today.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem. We always enjoy it when Sarah's with us. Thank you very much. That's it for today. We want to thank all of our guests, Jan in Texas, as well as Donna and Sarah here in Atlanta. We certainly thank our listeners for joining us today and want to remind them that if you wish to listen to a rebroadcast of today's show, you can do that at eugeriaradio.com. And as always, we want to close and state that if the youth of our nation is its greatest national resource, it goes without saying that the seniors of this nation is its greatest national treasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Eugeria Radio is sponsored by Griswold Special Care and broadcast live from the Business Radio X studios.